WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. This is WVUA 90.7 FM, the Capstone, and welcome to episode number 33 of the Full Court Press Podcast. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Alex Chasen and Nick Atkinson. On today's episode, look forward to league news and our discussion of the top 14 NBA draft prospects in the upcoming 2023 NBA draft. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at @FCPPodcast_UA and on TikTok at @FCP_podcast. With that being said, let's get into it.
Let's get right into it. Today is April 5th. This comes out on April 7th. The NBA regular season ends April 9th. It is coming up. The conclusion of the regular season is so close. We're all excited for the playoffs. April 10th, rosters are set for the NBA playoffs. April 11th through April 14th is the NBA play-in tournament. And April 15th, mark your calendars, the NBA playoffs begin. I'm so excited for it. There was some just marvelous games last night with some playoff energy. Celtics 76ers, that had a lot of playoff energy. That was a great game. I'll talk about that one a little later in the news segment, but I'm excited for the playoffs to start. Let's get right into some regular news, though. There's some more news out on the CBA. Last podcast, I talked about the new bargaining agreement with the NBA starting next season. Well, there's one more piece of news that came out later in that day that I did not touch on. Let me read it. As part of the new collective bargaining agreement between the NBA and NBAPA, all NBA teams will reportedly be positionless, and players must appear in at least 65 games for consideration. I remember on the last podcast I said, I feel like this 65-game thing is not just for the MVP that was originally reported. I feel like it's for all awards. Turns out, we still don't know if it's for all the awards, but it's at least for all NBA teams and the MVP. Again, I'm assuming it's for everything, but I don't want to assume and be wrong, so I'm going to stick with it's for the all NBA teams and MVP. Like I said, I'm assuming it's for everything. But guys, how do you feel about the all NBA teams being pushed, not this year, but in the following seasons when the new CBA comes into play? How do you guys feel about positionless all NBA teams? That means guys like Jokic and Embiid can all be on first team, and there's not like an argument of Jokic being on second team and Embiid's going to be on first team.
I think it's best for the NBA because I think a lot more guys are going to get on the All-NBA team that actually deserve it rather than some players who weren't necessarily as good but only got in for position consideration. Like, say, a Bam Adebayo made the All-NBA team over, say...
A better example, kind of, not to stop
you. Yeah, you're good, you're good.
In 2016, DeAndre Jordan got on the All-NBA team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he wasn't...
Exactly. So, I mean, there's a lot more deserving guys that deserve to be on these All-NBA teams rather than some meaningless positional guys. So I think it's good for the league.
How about you, Nick? Yeah,
I like it. Just like Kanaan was saying, like 2014 through like 2018, you know, when there was such a long jam between Curry, Westbrook, Kyrie, and Harden, those four were always, you know, for the point guards. And then it was always, you know, LeBron and KD, even up to now with them two. You know, it allows the top five players to be in that. So I think it's a lot better to actually see who is legitimately, you know, top five, top 10, top 15.
Did you say Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Speaking of Kevin Durant, the Suns are 7-0 with Kevin Durant in a Phoenix Suns jersey. He returned from his injury. He is 7-0 on the Phoenix Suns. The Suns are 7-0 with Kevin Durant on the floor. As a Phoenix Sun, not Suns, Kevin Durant is averaging 25 points per game, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists in his 7 games. They are turning around their season a bit. They are currently the fourth seed in the West. They are 2 games above the Golden State Warriors, 4 games behind the Kings. They won't catch them, obviously. There's not enough games to be played. So they're sitting probably at that fourth seed, could possibly move down to that fifth seed if they start losing games. But I don't think they will. They are undefeated with Kevin Durant in a Phoenix Suns jersey. Guys, what is your take on this? And can the Suns really make that push in the Western Conference and get back to the finals?
I think that there's the top 3 teams. I think Denver is a pretender, and then Memphis and Sacramento are legit second-round teams along with Phoenix. So I think that's who they're really competing with. So I don't know. I mean, it is what it is with them. I think that they're pretty legitimate. They have everything that they need, including the playmaking defense, all that stuff. So I just think that they're going to probably end up – their ceiling is definitely like – the finals, and then the floor is Western Conference Finals. So they're going to make a strong push.
I mean, if you have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and you're not making it to at least the Western Conference Finals, that's a failure of a season.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, with all that talent, you have to put some kind of, you know, movement in the playoffs, especially with a winning player like Kevin Durant, who has been to titles already. So it's going to be very interesting to see who are they matched up to play right now?
The Warriors.
Golden State. So, yeah, that would be a really good matchup. KD versus his old team. Steph Curry, who will presumably have Andrew Wiggins back. So I think that series would be great to watch. Golden State is a playoff team. So, I mean, it looks like they're getting their act together. Playoffs is going to be fun.
Speaking of Andrew Wiggins, he is coming back. I thought you were about to sneeze. I was prepared to say bless you. But speaking of Andrew Wiggins, he's coming back. Per Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, the Golden State Warriors all-star forward Andrew Wiggins is nearing a return to the team and is expected to be back early this week. Wiggins has missed 21 games attending a family matter. Huge boost for the defending champions and sixth seed in the West. Now they're the fifth seed. So that tweet was from earlier this week. He has not returned to action yet, but he has returned back to practice, I believe. But what's this mean for the Warriors team that is currently the fifth seed in the West? They might move around a little bit, maybe jump up. I don't think they'll move back. I mean, the Lakers
are
that.
They're not going to move back.
Yeah, the Lakers are the sixth seed. But I think the Warriors will stay at that five seed again, possibly move up. There's only like four games left. So I think everything where it's at right now is pretty much where it's going to be. But Jamie, what's your take on Andrew Wiggins coming back? And what's this mean for a team that is really obviously trying to repeat as champions?
Yeah. So like I just mentioned, having Andrew Wiggins back, who's such a dynamic player and former, not Pro Bowl, all-star starter, is going to be huge when you're matching up against Kevin Durant in the playoffs. So the Warriors are going to need all hands on deck, especially when you're facing Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, who just a couple years ago were in the NBA Finals. So it's going to be a great series. And I mean, I think it really depends the entire series on how Andrew Wiggins plays. He's been gone for, I mean, so long.
21 games. 22 now, actually.
It's going to be hard to acclimate as soon as you get into the playoffs. That's a lot to acclimate. So, Andrew Wiggins will be the deciding factor of this series.
How about you, Nick?
I agree. I think that if he's not playing, you have nobody to guard Kevin Durant. Andrew Wiggins was, you know, doing a great job guarding Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown last year in the finals. You know, he's a playoff performer. He does very well defensively and offensively in the playoffs. I think that he's, you know, a big X factor for them going into the playoffs. You know, Andrew Wiggins, he's going to do a really good job in guarding Kevin Durant. I just think he will. He's a fast player that's going to be able to stop Kevin Durant on his like little dribble drives. He's still KD can obviously shoot over anybody, but you know, I think that he's going to be able to contain him to the perimeter.
So. Nick said X factor. He's alluding to a future show, maybe. Wink, wink. More Jaylen Brown news, though. It was either last podcast or the podcast before. We talked about how JB is kind of frustrated in Boston with the fans. He had just some weird comments that were being thought of as he wants out. All these different things that the media was misconstruing, or really taking it at face value. Because he really did say, this is not word for word, but he basically said, I don't really know what my future holds. If they want me, I'll stay. If they don't want me, I'll leave. Basically, that's what he alluded to. But in a sit-down interview with Shams Charania of The Athletic, and I quote, Jaylen Brown said, I get why people try to break up duos because so far, in quotes, Jason and I have been incredibly successful at this point. We're part of each other's destiny. Destiny, he said. They're part of each other's destiny. Jaylen Brown, you're really messing with my emotion because 2 weeks ago, you're kind of talking crazy like, oh, I don't know what the future holds. You know, talking a little Kyrie-esque, you know, a little Kyrie swagger in him for good or for bad. But now he's like, oh, we're part of each other's destiny. I think that's the money talking. With the new CBA agreement coming out, if he makes an all-NBA team, his contract went up from $160 million to almost $190 million. So he's gaining, like, actually $200-something million, I believe. I was watching a YouTube video on this earlier. I believe it goes up $100 million with a new CBA agreement if he makes an all-NBA team. So I think that's the money talking for Jaylen Brown. I could be wrong, but that's kind of where my head goes. Because 2 weeks ago, he was like, oh, I don't really know how I feel about Boston. He didn't say that, obviously, word for word. New CBA comes out. He makes an all-NBA team. If he does, his contract just goes up another $100 million in his contract extension. So, guys, what are your takes on this with Jaylen Brown? Is it the money talking? Was he being misconstrued in his interview with the New York Times a few weeks ago? Because right now, he's saying they're part of each other's destiny.
Yeah, so me and Alex were walking into math class the other day when Shams dropped this tweet, and I'm trying to tell Alex, yeah, I know he just dropped this Jaylen Brown quote, and he said they're part of each other's destiny, and Alex did not believe me. But I was right, and I do think this could really be a Kyrie Irving swerve. I mean, we see the people he's connected with, the whole Kanye West connections. We don't know what Jaylen Brown's mind is going through. If he really wants to be there, and if he really wants to be the number one guy at another team. So, I mean, obviously they don't really got to worry about it for a little while. So, They obviously got to get through the playoffs first, but this could be some substantial news within the next few years.
Yeah, I agree.
The Celtics, a little bit more Celtics news. They always do this. They always sign random players going into the playoffs. You look around the league, no one really does this besides the Celtics and the Hornets, but they're not making the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter. But the Celtics are planning to sign NBA G League Sioux Falls forward Justin Champagny. Sources tell The Athletic and Shams Charania. He spent the last part of the last two seasons with the Raptors and has averaged 18 points, 8 rebounds for the Sioux Falls G League team. I believe they're with the
Heat.
All the way up in the Dakotas? They're with the Heat?
Yeah, because OKC's team is in Ontario.
Interesting. So that team, I guess, is connected to the Miami Heat, which is very weird. But with that said, I'm not going to ask you guys what you think about this, unless you know who Champagny is.
I do.
You do?
I don't know who he is, but I know his brother, Julian Champagny. He dropped 26 points on the Kings a couple nights ago on with the Spurs, and the Spurs beat us. They dropped 142 on us, and Champagny had 26. I only know about his brother. That's all I got
to
say.
I was talking to my roommate, Tommy, last night, and he was like, oh, he was a bucket back in college. So I'm going to take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
He's going to be part of our playoff roster, and hopefully he can just sit there and give us energy like Nick Stauskas did last year on the finals run. Some more news. A bright future is ahead for Detroit basketball. Granted, they lost to the Miami Heat last night, but we all know they have a future. Just core of stars. Last night, Jalen Durant, 20 points, 14 rebounds. Jaden Ivey, 30 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 3-pointers made on 73% from the field. And James Wiseman, 14 points and 6 rebounds. I know all of us kind of agree, once they get Cade Cunningham back in a few years under their belt, they could turn into like the future team that's going to three-peat and then three-peat again. I think they have all the workings for this. They have a great coach with Dwayne Casey. Granted, he's older, so I'm not sure how much longer he's going to coach, but he's a great mind that was a great mind in Toronto, now a great mind in Detroit. I think this team is just so well-built for the future, and we'll talk about later another guy the Pistons might be getting, or just a couple of guys the Pistons might be getting, because they could get anywhere from the first to third pick. What's your take on this?
I think it's really good. I think that this shows that, you know, it shows that Jalen Durant has a lot of potential, and I think that that needs to be their center of the future.
Or power forward.
Yeah, exactly. James Wiseman as well. He has really played very well since they've got there, and I like that front court of them two playing together. I really do like that.
I mean, yeah, the Pistons, they have a good young core, but it's depth that worries me, because you have Durant, Ivy, Wiseman, Cunningham. You have some good young pieces to build around for the future. It's just, I don't want Killian Hayes to be part of that future, and he's got to get replaced.
Moving on, Reggie Bullock Island. Yeah, you heard it here. I was scrolling through Twitter today, and I come across a Twitter called NBA Retweet. It says, Reggie Bullock purchased a 5-acre island in Belize for him and his family. Bullock is building a resort for his people to enjoy there. Quotes, Bullock Island. Now, I see this. I'm not going to take it at face value. You go on, actually, Apple Maps, and I guess it says Bullock Island, which is very interesting. But I did some, you know, fact checking, and it turns out this is real. In a quote, the water is beautiful. That was a quote from Reggie Bullock, obviously. The water was beautiful. That was one of the first things that I noticed. A lot of people are from Cali, California, and Texas. A lot of doctors and a lot of people going into retirement purchase homes for about $300,000, $400,000 around the water. The people are dope. The food is dope. If you're down to fish, they'll have really good grouper. I mean, what's your take on this? I mean, he bought this ultimately for his family, and then he wants to build villas to then rent out to the public. So this is a money move for him to make money. And also, I guess somewhere he'll go on vacation and retirement. I mean, for an NBA player that isn't a superstar, I think this is a really smart money move.
Yeah, I mean, this is boss moves right now by Reggie Bullock. It's just, I don't know how comfortable I'd feel living on an island called Bullock Island. Doesn't make me think very good things. It's a pretty preposterous name.
It's his last name.
I know. I just don't feel comfortable being on Bullock Island. But you know what? It's a money move, and I can't diss him for that. He's out there getting the bread.
How about you, Nick? Would you go to Bullock Island?
Yeah, he's an NBA player. Yeah, sure. Why not?
He's there.
Hopefully he builds an NBA court on there. Not an NBA court, just a basketball court in general.
Yeah. Bullock Island NBA team.
Moving on to the last few pieces of news. Jamie, you're the card guy. I saw this from Shams Charania. What's your take on this? Let me read this. Fun development. Fanatics is launching basketball cards under its Topps brand, beginning with the 2023-24 NBA season. industry sources say. I love when Shams like sources say this, sources say that. What's your take on Fanatics? You know, obviously they're mostly the jersey company, a little bit of like fan merchandise in the way of pictures and autograph things, but now they're moving to cards.
Yeah, so Fanatics is mostly under the circumstances of selling merchandise, yada yada yada. And Topps is one of the biggest sports card companies out there. They're most known for putting out MLB cards. They've been the number one producers of MLB cards for a very long time. So Topps has not been the one to make NBA cards. And so I think this is going to be fun. It's mostly been Panini who's ran the NBA. And so, I mean, not a bunch of people are big fans of Panini with the way they price things and all their printing and how expensive and whatever. So it'll be fun to see what Topps has to offer and if the hobby can be revived.
Do you have any takes on this, Nick?
No, not really.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie's definitely the card specialist out of the three of us, so that's why I pushed that question to you.
Yeah.
One more thing before we get into the main segment. Nick, I know right now, obviously, you're like Clippers fan first because of Russell Westbrook, but at the end of the day, you are a 76ers fan. That's where you started your fandom. So I just want to say this. I saw you reposted Joel Embiid's 52-point game last night. I want to say this, right? It took Joel Embiid to score 52 points, to beat the Celtics by 2 points without Jaylen Brown, without Robert Williams. All right? It took I just want to make everything clear. It took Joel Embiid 52 points to beat the Celtics by 2 without Brown, without Robert Williams, and to avoid getting swept in the season series. That's all I had to say. If you have anything to say, Nick, please let me know. I know you're like a half Sixers fan right now because of Westbrook, but that is what I had to say because people were texting me all morning being like, "Oh, blah 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 blah." That's what I blasted them back with. It took Joel Embiid's 52-point game to beat the Celtics without Brown, without Robert Williams, to win by 2 and avoid getting swept in the season series.
I don't have takes on it. I just am happy that he did that. The only reason I reposted it is because I was like, in my head, there's the MVP.
No, yeah, I definitely hope he wins MVP. I actually tweeted about it today saying he should be MVP, and then I did the rant that I just did to Nick. But anyways, I just had to do a little rant. Let's jump into the main segment. Nick, let's discuss what we are doing.
All right, so today we'll be going over the 2023 NBA draft prospects. Obviously, just for the lottery, just picks 1 through 14. The official team order will not be figured out until the draft lottery on Tuesday, May 16th. So possible teams we'll talk about the players going to is most likely in the order that we say here below. So Pistons, Rockets, Spurs are all tied for the number one spot. But you never know. Sometimes some teams can tank out. And we've seen stuff like one year the Lakers were the 11th seed and they got the second pick in the NBA draft. So, I mean,
You never know.
You never know. The Blazers could get the first pick. The Utah could. The Lakers could. The Pelicans could. You never know. So,
like Nick just said, the highest odds right now are the Pistons, Houston, and the Spurs. That's what it will be, most likely, because they all have the highest 14% odds to get that. And then after that goes to the Hornets, Portland, Washington, Indiana, Orlando, Utah, Dallas, Oklahoma, Chicago, Minnesota, and then at 0.5%, the Toronto Raptors. But are you guys ready to get into some of the top prospects? March Madness is over. Granted, some of these guys didn't play in March Madness because some of them are foreign. Like number one projected overall pick, Victor Wembanyama. He has been the most talked about prospect since LeBron James. His potential status, this is all from Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. This is what we're looking at, his draft board. He calls him a potential GOAT. On his team, the Metropolitan 92 out in France, he averaged 22 points per game this season, 3 blocks, 10 rebounds, 30% from 3. He is 7'3". He stands at 7'3". But people are calling him Kevin Durant, but also shades of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, shades of being the GOAT. He is the most highly thought of prospect since LeBron James. Guys, I think he's the undisputed number one overall pick. What's your take on Victor Wembanyama? Jamie, I know you have his shirt. Not on right now, but I know you bought his shirt. Jamie, I'm going to go with you first. What's your take on the most highly thought of prospect since LeBron James?
Yeah, so I got his shirt because he viewed my Instagram story, so shout out for that. But what's hard for Wembanyama is that he has all of these expectations, and if he doesn't go down as one of the all-time greats, I feel like a lot of people are going to assume he failed as an NBA player, which is so hard being in that circumstance. He's 7'3" with an 8-foot-long wingspan, and he really does it all on the court. Interior defense, he could, shoot as good as Kevin Durant. He's going to be a special player, and no matter what way you look at it, I don't think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he has shades of Gen Z, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's what it says.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think he's more of a Kristaps Porzingis on something.
Like with Kevin Durant.
Yes, he's like a mixture of Kristaps Porzingis on, like, with Kevin Durant. I do think that's a good comparison, and I do think he has all the potential in the world to be better than LeBron James and Michael Jordan. It's just a matter of time.
Nick, what's your rebuttal to that?
LeBron and Jordan's kind of just crazy for a guy that hadn't played in the NBA yet.
He didn't even play in college. He's played overseas in France.
Yeah, I mean, so did Luka. Look what he's doing.
No, I know. I'm not like taking that away from him playing overseas. If anything, that might be harder.
LeBron didn't play in,
they have less defensive rules. Like, you can hand check overseas. Honestly, it's honestly harder to be good overseas than it is here.
I mean, when you have a 7'3" height and 8-foot long wingspan, I'm sure you'll be
it's
all right.
It's injuries, though.
That's what I'm
can
saying.
He stay
That's what
healthy?
I'm concerned about, yeah.
Because there's guys that have come to this league.
He's bigger than Chet, though.
But he's still relatively lanky. And it's Kevin Durant, who hasn't had huge injury problems, but now getting older, he's having some injury problems.
I mean, to be fair, I think it really depends on where he gets drafted. Because, I mean, when Zion got drafted, he was a big boy, but he got real, real big when he came to New Orleans because they had some good food. So I think they got to feed the boy when he comes to America. We got some good food over
now,
here, Victor.
Some teams, obviously, you can get drafted by. Obviously, the top three teams, most likely, it's either going to be the Pistons, Rockets, or Spurs. We're not going to do this with every player, but I think we should do this for the top three projected picks. Let's just say he goes to the Pistons. Nick, what would that look like?
I don't think that's happening just because of how good Durin and Wiseman have been. You don't push those guys now. Durin especially, he's the same age as Victor Wembanyama. He was the youngest player in the NBA this year. So I don't think you push him down. Maybe you do run him at the power forward. If they do that, I'm all right with it. But I'm very high on Jalen Duren. I don't think that you get rid of him. He reminds me of Ben Wallace, but with way better offensive skill set. He can stretch the floor. He's a really good player, great rebounder. But I see him going to San Antonio. That's
San
just
Antonio.
What I think.
That's
what I'm thinking.
But what if San Antonio gets that third pick? Then the two teams above him aren't going to pass up on Victor.
I'm just saying, I don't think Detroit needs him. I think Detroit would be more fitting for a Brandon Miller.
That's exactly what I was saying, because they traded Sadiq Bey.
Yeah.
So now all they need is a small forward, because now you have Wiseman and Durin down there, and then you have Cade and Ivy down there, then you have Brandon Miller now. So that's like that's an amazing starting five.
I could honestly see Pistons, if they get that first pick, trading back.
I could too.
And
like
getting
Tatum
a bunch of assets.
I could see it, yeah, 100%.
What about the Rockets? You think they could get Victor
the Rockets need everything.
If they
I
have the
wouldn't
first
do
pick.
It. Because Sengun's been playing really good, and Jabari's
but
just
the thing is,
now
though,
starting
yeah,
to get
they just got Jabari.
You have to be in the mindset of, like, this is the most highly thought of scouted prospect since LeBron James. I think any team that gets that first pick is not going to pass up on Victor Wembanyama. No matter what they have right now, no matter if they have Jalen Durant like the Pistons, Wiseman like the Pistons, or no matter if you have Sengun like the Rockets, no matter if you're the Spurs, obviously they would take them. They don't really have like a great starting center right now. But I feel like any team, no matter who you are, you get that first pick, you're not going to pass up on someone. Again, we don't know if he will be, but he is the most highly thought of scouted prospect since LeBron. I don't think anyone passes up on that.
The Kings passed up on Luka Doncic, so anything can happen.
But that was not. But no one's thought of someone like this before.
Debatable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that he should go to San Antonio. I just think that would just benefit his career. You saw what it did for Tim Duncan. You know, he played very well under Popovich, and then obviously Tim Duncan's going to be in the facility all the time, getting it right. You know, getting his mindset right.
They're Bless both, you, Jamie.
The both of them are foreign guys, so I think that would get them really right. And now you got what's his name, Sokan there too. You've got Newman, I think. Julian Newman.
No, Julian Shempaki.
That's right. Him, yeah.
Julian Newman. I haven't heard of him in forever.
He ain't making it nowhere.
Yeah. you have those two young guys, and I just think that they have a lot to look forward to, especially if you get Wembanyama. You can build around him very easily. He can shoot the ball. You don't really have to worry about, you know, stuff like having to get shooters for him, because he's a shooter. And, you know, Trey Jones, he's a great playmaker. So, yeah, I think that this is a perfect built team for Victor Wembanyama.
Moving on to the second overall projected pick, our very own Alabama Brandon Miller out of right here in Tuscaloosa, the University of Alabama. This is the most highly scouted Alabama prospect ever. Colin Sexton was great. Herb Jones was good. There's been a lot of good NBA players that have come out.
Charles Sprewell.
Horry's the best one.
There's been a lot of great players that have come out of the University of Alabama, but no one has been as highly thought of and scouted as Brandon Miller, freshman, out of right here in Tuscaloosa, the University of Alabama. Let's talk about our guy, B. Mill. Jamie, I'm going to start with you. Right now, he's projected the second overall pick. That could, again, that could be the Pistons, Rockets, or Spurs. But let me just start off what his comparisons are. Shades of Paul George and your boy, Danny Granger. Mm-hmm. So I want you to talk about Brandon Miller. And what do you think he would give to any of those top three teams?
So my thing on Brandon Miller is that he's got to perform better in the big moments. We saw how he performed in March Madness. But in the regular season, he's one of the best players we've ever seen as a freshman. I really like these comparisons to Paul George and Danny Granger, both of them being 6'9" forwards who could play both sides of the ball, fantastic defenders, fantastic shooters, and they do it all on the court. So I'm a huge fan of those comparisons. 6'11" wingspan is going to help a lot. Interior on the defense. He's a fantastic rebounder already. I mean, we could see what he does defensively. He's a block monster. So, I mean, even though he didn't shoot well in March Madness, he played fantastic defense. They have him here as a human highlight. He has feel for the game, potential versatility. I like all of those. Miller, honestly, to me, could play the 2 through the 4. So I'm not sure if I'd have him or Scoot Henderson higher, but obviously being an Alabama guy, I do think Brandon Miller is going to be fantastic, and I'm not sure. I think I like him in either Charlotte if they somehow get up in that position, or Detroit.
I would really like to see him with Detroit. I wasn't really thinking about it, but if Detroit does fall back, I think Brandon Miller is a perfect fit for them because they're really just missing that 3 or 4, which Brandon Miller, that's what he provides with his size and length and shooting ability. The only thing is like they'll have so much young talent. Are they all going to be able to progress to their full potential? Because I feel like at some point you have so much good young talent, they're not going to be able to flourish. Like if he goes to a team like the Hornets where he could really be that 1 or 2 option, probably 2 because of LaMelo, be like that 2 option on a young growing team. Where if he goes to Detroit, he might be that 4th option because he's going to be a rookie and there's so much other good young talent. That's the only thing that worries me about the Pistons. So they have so much young talent. None of them, except a few guys, are going to get to their full potential. The other ones are going to kind of be upset.
I mean, that's the case with a lot of these top teams. They're all extremely young. Charlotte's young. Detroit's very young.
I know, but Detroit has the most like young talent out of any of them.
I mean, they have Bogdanovich.
But besides him, that they have everything else. It's all guys under the age of 23.
Yeah, 24. So that's really the case with everybody. They all have young talent. But I don't care who you are. Well, you will benefit from Brandon Miller.
Houston, Nick.
Yeah, I think Houston would be a good fit. I think that Detroit is the best fit, but I think Houston would be nice just because I want Scoot to go to Houston. But
pair him up with Jalen Green.
But, Brandon Miller, I think that anywhere he goes, he's going to be able to fit himself into the lineup just because he can shoot, play make, score it any way up and down the court. He's also a good defender. He's really good in the low post. I think you benefit from running him at the 4. So, if he does go to Houston or Detroit, I think that that's where you could stick him in at and, just figure things out. I don't know, though. I mean, I'm not a coach, but I think that he has a very versatile skill set, especially for the NBA that we're in today. He's just going to be able to flourish being a stretch big man and being able to handle the ball like he can. So, yeah.
Moving on. So, again, there's three prospects in this draft. Victor Wembanyama, Brandon Miller, and now it's Scoot Henderson out of G League Ignite. He is the first G League guy we're going to talk about today. He decided not to go to college, not to go overseas. He decided to come into the NBA but play in the G League, the minor league, so to speak, of the NBA at 17 years old. This is his second season in the G League, I believe. He skipped his senior year of high school. And he's going to be in the draft this year. He's eligible. Again, the top three prospects, Victor Wembanyama, Brandon Miller, and Scoot Henderson. These are the undisputed top three picks. And now we're on the final one of these three. Scoot Henderson. He has shades of Russell Westbrook, Derrick Rose, supreme athletic ability, who wants to bury his opponents with furious dunks. I think that's where they get the Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook comparisons, is just his athletic ability driving to the rack. It's just like those two at such a young age. His shooting is not the best coming into the NBA, but he will drive and punish you driving into the lane. He averaged 16 points per game, 6 assists, 1 steal, again, on 27% from 3. So that's his lacking ability, but his driving ability is all there.
He's much more like Westbrook compared to how Ja Morant is compared to the two of them. I think you can give Ja that Derrick Rose now because, for one, Scoot Henderson has came out multiple times and said that he tries to play like Westbrook. Like, he said that's his favorite play. Where's Zero? So, that's my guy. But, Scoot Henderson, if you just look at his highlights, I mean, he is a mirror of Russell Westbrook. Obviously, he's not the rebounder that he is, but you know, neither was Westbrook coming into
exactly.
the NBA.
Exactly, took him a while to get there.
So I think that, you know, you give him. I don't know if actually I like him on Houston because, you know, then that's two slashers. I don't know
exactly.
whatever team you put him on though, he's gonna be so good.
Well, it's not gonna be Detroit so because on. No matter what pick Detroit gets. They're not going to take Scoops. They don't need a guard. They already have Ivy and Cade. So you can knock Detroit out of that. Even if they have the third pick, they'll try to do something else. Spurs wouldn't be bad. I mean,
they need everything.
They have Trey Jones. They have Trey Jones.
He could be their next point guard of the future. They have Trey Jones, but Trey Jones can't shoot.
He's not a point guard of the future.
He's just like his brother.
He's a good
six man.
Exactly. And then there's the Rockets. Like you said, they do need a point guard, but they have Jalen Green. I don't really know
how
that.
They play too similar.
Yeah. I think they're both very ball-dominant guards. Yeah. I think the Spurs is the most perfect spot for him. If they don't get Victor Wembanyama, I would like to see him to the Spurs. Yeah. Hornets obviously don't need him.
I mean, they could do it, though. They do the same thing with Terry Rozier. This is just, you know, this is like they were thinking about doing Westbrook and LaMelo Ball. This is just having a younger version
just
of Westbrook.
Scoot can't shoot well enough to really pair with another guard like that. I don't know, because LaMelo's not going to sit in the corner and shoot threes like Terry Rozier. So that's my only complaint there.
Yeah, so for me, as for Scoot Henderson, he's one of my favorite draft prospects, legit, of all time. He offers a lot as an on-ball player. In the G League, he's averaging 16 points, 6 assists, and a steal. What he lacks, though, is beyond the arc shooting, that being 27%. So that obviously needs to get better. But to his benefit, he's only 19 years old, pushing 20, and he's ambidextrous. So he's flying at the rim. He could put the ball up however he wants. He's a very strong finisher. He could finish with the left or right. So I really like these Russell Westbrook comparisons. I mean, what's his face? Scoot himself said that Russell Westbrook's one of his favorite all-time players, and that's what he models his game after. And I can obviously see it. He's shifty, like an Allen Iverson. He can drive to the basket better than anybody else. It's just he needs to improve his perimeter shooting because he shoots 42.4% on pull-up twos in the G League. So he's a great mid-range shooter. But if he can push, you know, beyond the arc, a lot like Russell Westbrook,
he plays just like Westbrook.
They're the exact same player, 6'2 with long wingspans.
They're just like Westbrook.
I think he has potential to be an MVP candidate in the future.
I think so too.
Now, for the first time ever, I believe, there's going to be two twins drafted, not just in the lottery, but they're projected both top six picks in this year's NBA. Top five picks. They're projected top five picks in this year's NBA draft. I said top six because there's a couple different mock drafts that have them a few different places. But in this one we're looking at today, they're both projected top five picks. That's Amen Thompson and his exact twin brother. These are not fraternal, where like they're born at the same time, but they don't look alike. These are identical twins, Amen and Asher Thompson of Overtime Elite. If you don't know what Overtime Elite is, it's a 16 to 20 year old based Atlanta, Georgia professional basketball league. Kind of like the G League, but it's not affiliated with the NBA. It's more kind of like when LeVar Ball created the BBB brand and that whole professional league. So it's a little bit odd. That's the only little concern I have with them is, yes, they're playing in a so-called professional league, but it's not affiliated with the NBA. It's not affiliated with any overseas organization, those leagues over there. So how is their game going to translate coming into the real NBA? That's my only curiosity to see how it happens. But I'm not a scout, and scouts think it's still a problem because both of them projected number four and number five, starting with Amen Thompson. He's 6'7", 200 pounds, 20-inch wingspan, 6'9" wingspan, excuse me, he's 20 years old. Obviously, his brother's the same age, but he has shades of tall John Morant and beanpole Zion Williamson. This season... I don't know. What's your take on this?
So, the thing with Amen Thompson is he's fantastic coming into the basket. A lot like Scoot Henderson. Around the basket, they're nearly unguardable. He's a fantastic playmaker at 6'7", and I can see the tall John Morant comparisons. However, he is an atrocious shooter. Teams already sag off on him on defense. They play him like Draymond Green. Which I think is a pretty good comparison because they're both great playmakers at that 6'7" height. So if you're going to be a forward in the NBA, you have to know how to shoot. I don't care who you are. As a forward, I don't want to draft you if you can't shoot. And both Thompson brothers have that problem. Amen is worse than Ausar. Ausar is a great mid-range shooter. That's why he's drawing Sean Livingston comparisons. We'll get to that later. But Amen Thompson can't shoot really at all. So if he wants to be a superstar in the NBA, he's really got to improve that jumper. But he has all of the all the tools you want when it comes to flashing at the rim.
Amen is projected to go to possibly, again, we won't know the exact order to the draft lottery, but right now the best fit looks like the Portland Trailblazers. Nick, what would be your take on that for a 6'7 shooting guard, but probably would get moved to small forward since they have Dame, who might be leaving.
He'll be gone.
But let's just say he's still there. Dame, and then you still have Anthony Simmons. So what's your take on Amen Thompson, who is listed as a shooting guard, but at 6'7", you can really do shooting guard or small forward.
I mean, if I'm them, I'm not taking them. If you're sitting here still wanting to build around Damian Lillard for whatever reason still, I'm not drafting a guy that has so much,
playmaking ability?
No, not that, to an extent, but, like, more of raw talent. Like, he's just too raw. Like you were saying, he's doesn't have any NBA, like, real NBA experience. So,
or even college level.
Yeah, exactly. So I just think that, you know, that you don't draft a guy like that. You gotta draft somebody that's actually going to, you know,
that you know is already established in college.
Exactly. And for me, if I'm doing that, if I'm Portland, I'm gonna have to say I'm drafting. I forgot his name. The center on UConn. That's who I'm drafting. I forgot his name. He's got a crazy name, but that's who I'm drafting. He's averaged 21 points per game in the tournament. He was so dominant on the boards, and that's what they need is a dominant, you know, a dominant big man, because that's just not what Yusuf Nurkic is. So I think that that's what would benefit them the most is to get
Donovan
to get
Clingan?
Huh?
Donovan Clingan?
Nah. Hold on. I can tell you his name.
Moving on, while Nick finds that, Jamie, what's your take on a Sir Thompson? Obviously, his twin brother, I already described. I don't need to describe their height and weight again because a Sir is only 8 pounds more than Amen. They're literally the exact same person, but they play a little bit differently. Instead of shades of tall John Morant and being pulled Zion Williamson, a Sir Thompson has shades of Sean Livingston with elite athleticism and better defense. So, Jamie, what's your take on a Sir? And right now, he's projected to possibly go to the Magic.
I think that'd be a really good fit. As of right now, I think I like Asar Thompson more as a prospect than I do Amen. Because Amen, as a shooter, he's not going to be special in any regard at any point in his career. He just doesn't have it. Where Asar has the potential. He's a fantastic mid-range shooter. He shot 33% from the line this season. However, he did shoot in the mid-60s from the free throw line, which definitely has to improve when you're going to drive to the basket as often as he does. So I do like Asar more than Amen, mostly because of his shooting ability. He is a little loose when handling the ball, but that can be improved. So Asar Thompson, I do believe, has the brighter future, especially with a 1-inch longer wingspan. That will obviously help with steals. I don't care how long it is. And then 8 pounds heavier, which will help him down low. So I do like Asar more than Amen.
Yeah. Snogo is who I was talking about. But
Snogo's really good.
As far as Asar Thompson, though, I actually, he's my like third favorite prospect of this draft just because I see a lot of potential for him on the defensive end of the ball. 2.4 steals per game with 1.1 blocks per game, and he's 6'7", you know. He does everything on the court. 17 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds, and only 21 minutes in the playoffs. That's pretty insane. The MVP of the OTE League. So, you know, I think he has a lot of potential. This is the guy I want the Hornets to get because since they're not probably going to get Brandon Miller, this is who I think they should focus on. You know, LaMelo Ball is a very good playmaker, so having a guy that's just going to be able to just really flourish off of, like, you know, driving kicks and just him driving kind of like a Miles Bridges a little bit, but also being able to implement a mid-range game into that. I do like the Sean Livingston comparison, but I think he should focus more on the basket and creating mid-range opportunities for himself, like, you know, post fadeaways and just stuff like that. I think that he could really flourish in the NBA alongside a really good playmaker like LaMelo Ball. I just think that's what he should do. Really good defender. I think, honestly, you could run him at the three. You know, you're already running a small lineup having Terry Rozier, but, you know, if you're getting him and then you have Miles Bridges potentially next season, I think they could be really good. So,
moving on to the sixth overall projected pick, Anthony Black out of Arkansas. Shades of Lonzo Ball. He is a big guard. He stands at 6'7", just like the Thompson brothers, but he is a pure point guard. Floor general, great feel of the game. On-ball defense is right there. We actually saw him this year when Arkansas came to the Coleman Coliseum to play our Bama boys. We beat him, of course, but he averaged 13 points per game on the season. 4 assists, 2 steals, 30% from 3, which isn't bad, especially in college. What's your guys' take on this? Right now, he's projected to be drafted by the Washington Wizards, which is they don't really have a true point guard. I know they have Monte Morris. I've never been a big fan of Monte Morris, especially in a starting point guard role. Could Anthony Black be that new facilitator the Wizards need to pair up with some people like Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma if he gets that extension, KP if he gets that extension? Could this be the point guard they've needed post John Wall to really turn into that facilitator they need?
I like Anthony Black a lot. But I'm finding a very current common theme within this draft class, and that's lack of shooting. He only shot 30% from the line this year, and he has sloppy mechanics.
Free throw line?
No, not free throw line. Three-point shooter.
I was going to say.
No, sorry.
Don't draft that man.
No, not from the free throw line. He shoots in the 60s from the free throw line.
Still not great for a guard.
But that was in high school, from what I'm reading. But as a three-point shooter, only 30%. However, he's a fantastic playmaker, and that's why people want to draft him. I could see his shades of Lonzo Ball being correct if it was not Bulls Lonzo Ball, more of a Lakers Lonzo Ball. He's great on the pick and roll, but if you don't surround him with shooters, it's going to be hard for him to develop, only because he can't create for himself. He's not good in the ISO situations. However, he's a fantastic defender, and I could see him going into the NBA averaging 8 or 9 assists. So I'm sure he could, find a way to score out there, just not on the ISO.
Yeah, he just needs, at least in the early stages of his career, he just needs to focus on playmaking and using that height for the for his defensive effort. He could turn himself into a player like a tall Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't focus on scoring if I'm him. If you have those three guys, you don't need to worry one bit about scoring. And, that's what they need is a playmaker.
The Wizards.
So. I was going to say, I think the Wizards would be a perfect fit because he's going to be surrounded with a Beal, Kuzma, and Porzingis.
That's 320
points
per game.
And he needs shooters.
Yeah.
So he would look very good as a rookie, which would boost his morale, boost his development, and he could be good. I think Wizards would be the perfect fit for Mr. Black.
Moving on to the 7th overall projected pick, Jairus Walker out of Houston. He has shades of Larry Johnson and Carl Landry. And to put it in perspective, Isaiah Stewart is what he looks like to me. Just a football player's frame on the basketball court. A Draymond Green, modern day would be Isaiah Stewart. Just a humongous guy who is a forward, just an absolute tank. He's 240 at 6'8". Put that man at tight end. Like, he is built like an absolute tank. 11 points on the season, 7 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, and he's a fantastic three-point shooter on almost 3 attempts a game, 35% from 3. For a big, that's what you got to be doing in today's NBA. Right now, the best fit for him on the board is projected to be the Raptors. Their pick is not projected to be the 16th pick, but he's the 7th highest-rated player in the draft. With that said, there's some higher teams up there like the Pacers, Utah, Dallas, Oklahoma, who are projected to get higher picks. So right now, the projection is to the Raptors at 16. But he is the 7th ranked player coming into this draft. Jamie, what's your take on Jairus Walker, and what do you think he'll bring to the NBA? I think he's just the next Isaiah Stewart. He has that he looks just like him. Like, he looks like his twin. Like, he got the same hair, got it all, and just his stature. He looks like he should be on the football field.
Yeah, he's built like a tight end. I really like that comparison. I'm not sure how I feel about the Larry Johnson, Carl Landry comparisons. I could see more of a Kenneth Faried.
Elite athleticism.
Big elite athleticism, fantastic rebounders. I could see him being more of a Kenneth Faried. He's not 20 years old yet, so he still has a lot of time to develop. But again, like the last few guys I've mentioned, he can't necessarily shoot. 35% isn't the worst, obviously.
You got to shoot.
That's pretty good for a big man.
It's not the greatest.
That's pretty
but
good.
He.
That's really good.
Yeah.
It is. People are barely hitting 40.
Yeah, but as a free throw shooter, he's not the greatest. And he didn't shoot a lot, is what I'm reading in college.
Three attempts a game on three.
Yeah.
That's a good bout for a big man.
I don't know.
I think his shooting is pretty good.
Yeah, I think so too.
And 11 points a game. I do think the Kenneth Faried comparison is really good. I think he brings a lot to an NBA team. And he's an interior scorer. He's going to do what he's got to do. That's really all I got to say. I like him.
To me, he looks more like a Julius Randle with defense a little bit, just because I've seen some clips of him, and he just looks like he is good at stretching the ball to the mid-range, getting some three-point attempts. But I think that he'll just be a more athletic, better defensive-minded Julius Randle, and I think you put him beside Scottie Barnes and OG Anunoby, you know, that's three really good defenders right there for whatever you're trying to build, which I don't know what you are at this point. You just got to get rid of Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, and that's a really good team going into the future with them three.
Jamie, here's your shooter, my friend. Taylor Hendricks out of UCF. Forward, 6'9", 210, 19.5 is his age. Averaged 15 points in the season. Almost 40% from three on almost five attempts a game. Almost two blocks a game as well. Seven rebounds. On-ball defense is there. Pull-up threat. He is just a pull-up mid-range or three-pointer. Springy athleticism. This is from Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. Springy athleticism with the type of two-way versatility that makes him an ideal fit for not just one system, any system. Kevin O'Connor's comparisons is shades of Jeremy Grant, currently on the Trailblazers, and then Jaden McDaniels.
Sixers.
Currently on the Sixers.
So this is the guy I've been looking for. The only reason he's not ranked higher than a few guys above him is because he plays for UCF, and he hasn't played the good competition as a couple of the other guys before him. However, he does it all on the court. Fantastic three-point shooter. He has a pull-up game. He can shoot over defenders. And he has a defender, too. 1.7 blocks a game, 7 rebounds. His perimeter defense is fantastic. He's fantastic on the interior. Really, all he has to prove is, like, if he could do that against the NBA talent. He didn't play the best competition in college, so if he could do that in the NBA, the sky's the limit for Taylor Hendricks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the NBA that we're in today, if he could just be a good defender shooter. You know, he'll get his money.
Career.
So, you know, I think that a team that he could benefit off of is one of the teams that is, like, a true contender. That or not a true contender, but a team that's like one piece away from being a contender. So, like, you know, let's say he goes to OKC, already has Isaiah Joe, so they don't really need another shooter. But I mean, shooting never hurts anybody. So, you know, you add him onto that bench, I think that he could really help OKC out.
I agree. Moving on to Cam Whitmore, the ninth projected player in this year's NBA draft, out of Villanova, shades of semi truck with a Ferrari's accelerator. Relentless, whatever that means, you take it with what you want. Relentless competitor who has a high floor and has flash signs of stardom. Extremely versatile on the court. Extreme athleticism, straight feel for the game. And he's got that dog in him. Out of Villanova, he's 6'7". He's a big wing. He's 6'7", 232. Two picks earlier, Jairus Walker is 6'8", 240. This guy is 6'7", 232. So another big guy on the floor. Jamie, what's your take on Cam Whitmore?
So the reason they call him a semi-truck with the Ferrari's accelerator is because he's built like a semi-truck. Ausar Thompson, Amen Thompson, Brandon Miller are all 6'7", 6'9", guys that weigh 200 pounds. Whitmore, 6'7", 232. So this dude's built like a truck. 7-foot wingspan is going to help him tremendously defensively. He's great around the rim. He's a solid shooter, definitely not the best. He's not necessarily great in the post either, but as a dribbler, he's got a bag. He's great on the pull-up. He does find himself taking tough shots sometimes when he doesn't need to, but I do think what he says here, he's flashed signs of stardom. I do think that's a pure fact, and I do think he could be fantastic in the league.
Right now, a team that is like the best fit on one of the other websites I'm looking at, they're talking about the Utah Jazz. I think that'd be a perfect fit. You got Lurie at your 4, you got Walker Kessler at your 5, you got Colin Sexton, debatable if he's your point guard of the future, and then you get your shooting guard either THT or Jordan Clarkson, but then you fill out that small forward role with Cam Whitmore, another big guy like a Lauri Markkanen. I think that's a good future core right there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. In my opinion, I'm not counting Lauri off as a number one option. I know he was an all-star, but, you know, you're on a team with not too many other scores, in my opinion. So, you know, you add a guy that could potentially be a star, you know, and he could really be that Donovan Mitchell to the team that they want to have again. And more of a versatile guy. He's only 18 years old, so you're drafting essentially a younger Donovan Mitchell. So, because, you know, he was projected to go around this area too, and he was a guy that just looked like he was going to raise the floor a lot and play make. So I see the same thing with him. You know, he's just got to work on that shooting.
Moving on to the 10th projected pick, Carson Wallace out of Kentucky. This man was a dog. I know, actually do know a good about him. You know, he has shades of Drew Holiday, De'Anthony Melton. Catch and shoot threat, feel for the game. And it's funny because a lot of these guys, this is so random, but I import draft classes into NBA 2K when I'm rebuilding.
I will say they actually make a pretty good job recreating these guys, because I'm looking at their stats and looking at the way they describe them. That's actually how they play in the video game. Off topic, but I just wanted to shout out the creators that make some of those draft classes in 2K. But with that said, 12 points per game, 35% from three, which is pretty good. Four assists, two steals. He just kind of reminds me of what Davion Mitchell should become, but he's not. Just a fantastic on-ball defender, fantastic off-ball defender, but he can score. And he can dish the rock. Sorry, Jamie.
You didn't really... No, you're right. Davion Mitchell's been extremely disappointing. And in the case of Cason Wallace, he's been amazing at Kentucky. He does it all, 12 points a game. 35 from the three-point line, which as a guard to me is more impressive than as a forward, because you're going to be shooting a lot more tough shots than you are as a forward, who will most likely be just shooting wide-open threes. Catch and shoot threat. Feel for the game. Fantastic off-ball defender. And I think he has all the tools to succeed in the NBA. I can see him. I think Drew Holiday is a fantastic comparison. I really like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I've seen a little bit of him. I've seen some stuff come up on like my Explore page, stuff like that. He just looks like a really good defender type of. I see more of a Gary Payton, of a low end poor man's Gary Payton with him so far. So I mean, you know, maybe he could turn into Gary Payton. You never know. Gary Payton's a guy that only won one title, and that's about it, and a deep boy. So I mean, that's a lot. It's not much to live up to. So I think that he could definitely fill that role.
Moving on to arguably the best shooter in this draft class, Grady Dick out of Kansas, 40% from three on the season. There's like your other great shooter, just like before with what was his name. Taylor Hendricks. This is your true number one shooter of this year's draft class. This is what everyone is talking about. Sharp shooting wing with playmaking skill that will make him more than just a specialist. Shades of Reggie Miller and Bojan Bogdanovic. So the ceiling is, I'm guessing, Reggie Miller, and the floor is a Bojan Bogdanovic, which isn't a bad floor. That's
I don't think that's the floor. I think it's a good comparison.
That's a 20 point per game score right there.
So, I mean, my thing on Grady Dick is that he's a fantastic shooter. And he might be the best in the class. He's a great playmaker, but he's a lackluster defender, which is a great comparison when you're looking at Bojan Bogdanovic, who, as himself, is not really the greatest defender either. So I think if he can improve as a defender, he could be good. He's also not the greatest dribbler and creating his own shot. He finds himself taking a lot of tough shots around the rim. So I think Bojan, as a catch-and-shoot shooter, is what Grady Dick's going to be in his career, and he's going to be a darn good one at that.
That's what people thought. What's that guy on the wit? I'm blanking so hard now.
Johnny Davis?
No.
Adia?
No.
Porzingis?
Nope.
Thomas Bryant?
Oh my gosh. I'm blanking so hard right now.
Is it a forward?
No.
On the Wizards?
Yeah.
Currently?
Johnny Davis?
No, it's not Johnny Davis. Corey Crisper. I don't know why I was blanking on Corey Crisper. That's what people thought Corey Crisper was going to be. He was a sharpshooter coming into the league. I think he's a sophomore. Yeah, I think he's a sophomore this year in the NBA. People thought he was a sharpshooter like Grady Dick. Comes into the league. He's not bad, but he's only averaging like 9, 8 points per game, 10 points per game. Anyways, I don't know why I was blanking.
Crisper's only 6'4", though. Grady's 6'8".
So no, I know.
I think there's a lot more potential with Grady.
I agree. I don't know how I was blanking on his name. Anyways, moving on to the number 12th, Keyonte George. This is one of my favorite players.
Keyonte.
What?
They got the wrong Keyonte on here. It needs to be Keyonte Johnson. My boy out of Kansas State.
That's your boy. They did well in March Madness. But Keyonte George, this is one of my favorite players in this year's draft, and for this very reason. Shades of Bradley Beal and then Jaden Hardy. I love those pure scorers who just come into the NBA, and their job is to score. That is Keyonte George's role. Wherever he goes, wherever he ends up, he has crazy ball handling, pull-up threat, interior scorer. He has all the intangibles inside and outside the arc. I mean, 34% from three isn't bad. Especially for a combo guard where you're kind of driving to the paint a lot. 15 points per game this season, 3 assists, almost 1.5 steals per game, 6'4", 185. So a little bit on the lanky side. But again, your job is to score, and I think that Bradley Beal comparison is perfect.
I really like Keyonte George. He's one of my favorite players in this class as a scorer. Bradley Beal, Jaden Hardy, Cam Thomas are all good comparisons because he can do it all offensively. The only thing that he needs to improve on is driving to the basket. Yes, he could score on the interior, but he finds himself driving into too many defenders that can lead to turnovers. So if he can improve on that, he'll be fantastic. He's a great defender, averaging over a steal, 3 assists, and 34% from three is not bad when you're shooting 7 threes a game. So I think the sky's the limit for Keyonte George.
Yeah. I like him. I like him to an extent. I'm not big on people from Baylor necessarily just because they've had a lot of championship-winning teams and their players just never really do good in the NBA.
Davion Mitchell.
my point exactly. So, I just think they're kind of, I'm not going to sit here and say a fraudulent program, but they're just not, they don't produce real NBA, star level players, but maybe that's not what he is. Maybe he is a bench scorer. Manu Ginobili, Jamal Crawford, that type of guy. But
moving on to another one of my favorite guys in this draft class, Nick Smith out of Arkansas. He is one of the best ball handlers in this draft. I remember when we saw him here at Coleman Coliseum again, another Razorback in the top 14 lottery picks here. He has the amount of ability he has to shoot the three, drive to the lane, great body control. He was scoring shots over Bediako, Clowney in the paint. That's not easy to do when you have those 7-footers and then 6'9" in Clowney's case guarding you, going to the paint. He also has the ability to shoot the three really well. Definitely a two-way guard. Ball handling is right there. Great float game, like I said, over Bediako and Clowney when we saw him here at Coleman Coliseum. Just fantastic interior score, but can also shoot that three. He has shades of Jamal Murray and then Tyler Hero, which I think is a perfect comparison. You got Jamal Murray, who can drive to the paint, do it all, and shoot that three very well. And you have Tyler Hero, who is a premier three-point scorer, but then can also drive to the paint as well. I think those are perfect, perfect shades comparisons right there for Nick Smith Jr.
I think I like the Jamal Murray one more because Jamal Murray is a great playmaker as well, and so is Nick Smith. He knows how to get the ball to his shooters and into the cutters off the pick and roll, so I really like him as a playmaker. His only downside is he forces a lot of bad mid-range shots, pulling up over guys where he doesn't need to, really tough floaters and jumpers. So if he could tap into his playmaking a little more, he'll be fantastic in the NBA. Arkansas has put out a lot of good talent. This is their second guy to be go in the lottery, so I think Nick Smith has all the potential in the world to be really good.
Yeah, I think he just needs to get more of a offensive game added to his playmaking. I mean, obviously he's pretty good, but I just want to see what he can do. I haven't seen much of him, so.
And then the final guy we're going to talk about is Ryan Rupart.
Never even heard of
him. Out of New Zealand, the New Zealand Breakers, the NBL. He's played in France, but he's out of New Zealand. Or he's from France, but played in New Zealand, excuse me. Shades of Mikal Bridges and Otto Porter, and this is here's why. He's averaged 7 points per game, 31% from three, 1 steal per game, 2.5 rebounds, but he has all the defensive intangibles to lock up any player in the NBA. This guy, all his draft notes here are defense, some good ball handling, and then even more defense. The only minus I can see here on his notes is he has a defensive ace overseas, but he'll need to be more selective about when he goes for steals in the NBA. Why? Because overseas, like I talked about earlier, I forget what we were talking about. I think it might have been with Wembanyama. Is overseas, you can hand check. You can do a lot more to your defender overseas. That's not a foul. For damn sakes, you can block the ball if it's in the rim. There's no goaltending overseas. So he has to be a little bit more selective coming over here to the NBA, choosing when to steal the ball, and really just be that on-ball defender that isn't reaching and causing fouls. That's the only complaint I see here with this possible game. But, overall, as a defender, if you can be compared to Mikal Bridges and Otto Porter, two of the best perimeter defenders in the league, especially Mikal Bridges, who can also have a great offensive game. Again, we're moving into the 14th pick here. That's really good, I think.
Yeah, so my thing with Ryan Rupert is he's 6'6", 192 pounds. Yeah. He is light.
So is Mikal Bridges. He's light.
Yeah, but he could shoot. It says he shoots 31%, but he's a very streaky shooter in game. He's a great defender, but he doesn't handle contact well. When you're 192 pounds in the NBA, how do you expect this guy to, lean into a shot against, Joel Embiid?
So why is Wembanyama the first pick?
Because he's 7'3", 8 foot tall wingspan. He can put the ball over a lot of tall guys.
Yeah.
He's 6'6", 192. He's going to get bodied by a lot of other forwards. So, he's a great defender, but I'm just not sure how I see him. If a team wants a pure defender, sure, go for it. But you're not going to get a ton of scoring out of him.
Yeah, I agree with
that. He's only averaging 7 points a game.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that he should not be a lottery pick. I think that he needs to fall out of that. Like I was saying earlier, my guy out of UConn, him, Keontae Johnson was so good in the tournament. I think he has to go top 14.
I was just going to say, he's only up here for intangibles. People see that 7'3" wingspan, go gaga for it.
And half the time, if your wingspan's that long, you're that short. He's not short, but if it's that big of a difference and you're that light, it does not work out that well. Brandon Ingram, great player, but everybody was screaming KD whenever he came out of college. He's not anywhere close to that. You know, he's a fringe all-star, you know, one all-star appearance. So, I mean.
But that ain't KD numbers.
That's what I'm saying. So, I just think that there's a lot better options. Like I said, Keontae Johnson, I think that what he can bring to a team is playmaking. He's 22 years old. He's kind of like, in my opinion, he's the Keegan Murray of this draft. He's going to bring a team that was not in the playoffs into the playoffs, add some sort of add defense, three-point shooting, playmaking, everything that the team was lacking, add to it a little bit. That's what I think Keontae Johnson
does. I mean, I just think he's a role player. There's a few other guys below him that I think are much better than him. Guys like Noah Clowney, shout out Alabama, Roll Tide. Who else is up here? Kyle Filipowski, G.G. Jackson out of South Carolina is really good. Derek Lively's right under him. So I think there's a lot of other guys who are going to be better than him, because I don't want to take a guy in the lottery who only averaged 7 points a game overseas. I just can't do that.
I want to talk about one more guy today, and he is the projected 30th overall pick. So the last pick of the first round, it is your boy's twin brother, Chris Murray, out of Iowa. I want to talk about him for one reason. It's funny, but his projection of a possible player he could be, it's not like a random player, and it's not just his twin brother. It is just a left-handed version of Keegan Murray.
I like that comparison because they were both fantastic scorers. Chris Murray,
20
Keegan
points
Murray's,
per game.
Yeah, Keegan Murray's. I think they're twins, actually.
They are. Twins,
yeah, they're twins. But
look at them.
Chris Murray decided to stay in college. Keegan Murray was averaged, I think, 25 points a game when he was coming out of college, and Chris Murray is not as good, but he's obviously fantastic, averaging 20 points on 33% from three when shooting 7 threes a game, along with 8 boards and a block. I think he's fantastic, and I definitely think he's underappreciated in this draft class. Shoot, I like him more than Ryan Rupert. Just from everywhere. He's a great defender, a lot like Keegan. He's just left-handed, and he's a way better shooter, faced better competition too, averaging 12 more points than he did. So I'm a big Chris Murray guy, and I hope he succeeds. Shoot, I hope he comes to the Kings. That'd be fire.
Out of all the guys we've talked about today, what do you think is the possibility of just being a surprise bust? Again, I hate to do that when they haven't even stepped foot in the NBA. Like, I can't even call people that were in 2 years ago's draft a bust because I just haven't had a long enough time in the NBA. But for entertainment's sake, for our audience, if you had to pick one guy that would be a bust and or surprise the world, who would it be?
So if I were to pick somebody to be a bust, it's going to be Amen Thompson. He's projected to go fourth. He's not a good shooter whatsoever, and he's being drafted high as a playmaker and as an athletic freak. But
I don't know how I feel about Overtime Elite as well.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure how the competition matches up in Overtime Elite. I like Osar's numbers more. He's a better shooter, and he's better physically. But Amen's obviously getting more attention. So I think he's going to be the biggest bust, as much as I hate to say it. And if I think somebody's going to be the biggest surprise, I could see Taylor Hendricks. Taylor Hendricks, yes, he's projected to go eighth, but I could see him being a top three guy out of this class. I could see him even being better than Brandon Miller, as much as I hate to say it.
Because the shooting, if you can shoot in college,
yes,
you can
exactly.
bring that to the NBA, you're going to have a job for a very long time.
15 points a game on 40% from three, also averaging a block, 7 boards. He did it all in college. Legit everything, very, very little weaknesses. It's only a matter of if he could transfer that to the NBA. I think he could do it, and I think he could be a star.
I completely agree with both your takes. Definitely with Taylor Hendricks possibly being the, like, kind of a little sneaky star on this draft. And then also for a possible bust, again, I hate to do it, but the Thompson brothers, and here's why. I just don't know if I can trust Overtime to Elite to produce real NBA-ready players. You're telling me the 4th and 5th overall pick are going to be coming out of Overtime Elite, which is a semi-pro league with 16-year-olds up to 20-year-olds. Obviously, they're killing 16-year-olds because they're really good at basketball players, but how's that going to translate when you're playing guys who are 28, 30 years old, real men who have been in the NBA for a very long time? Like, imagine him playing against Jason Tatum. Imagine him playing against De'Aaron Fox. Imagine him playing, like, I don't know. We'll have to see how it translates. I don't want to knock him because I'm probably completely wrong because they're projected so high. That's just my only thing. It's like, you're going to play for an Instagrams league.
Yeah.
Overtime, basically, that's what they started out, Instagram, YouTube, League. I don't know.
I was going to say, they're comparing him to a beanpole Zion Williamson, and I could see the comparisons because neither could shoot coming out of, you know, coming into the draft. But the thing is, Zion's coming out of Duke. He faced the talent. He's has NBA coaches. He played under Coach K, and he had everything in his favor to be successful in the NBA coming out of college. Where Amen Thompson and All-Star Thompson are coming out of a YouTube league. So it's a lot different than playing a Duke.
And then for the G League, at least you're playing NBA level people. So I can't even knock the G League. And then overseas, arguably tougher to score. Because again, I could talk about many times today.
Different rules.
Different defensive rules. So it's honestly kind of harder to score. So overseas and then G League, I can't knock it. Whether it's overtime elite stuff, I don't know. I'm questioning it.
What about you?
What?
Who do you think is your biggest boss, biggest star? Who do you think could be the biggest star, like surprise?
Keontae Johnson, 100%. Because he's just not even on.
I don't even know if he's in the draft this year, right?
He's too old to stay in college. And but he's for sure, he's got to be a first-round pick. If he's not, then, you know, that's the Draymond Green of the draft. He's going to be a star. I saw it with my own two eyes. He played really good at Kansas State, you know, during the whole entire tournament. Him and that small dude, whatever his name was,
Noel.
He's almost 24.
I was too focused on Keontae. You know, he was just raising the floor in such a good way. I think he's the Keegan Murray of the draft. I think that he's older. He's got experience. He can do literally everything on the court. I just think that that's going to be the biggest surprise of the draft. And as far as bust, I don't know. I like both the Thompson twins, but probably Amen. I think Asura's going to be really good, but not Amen.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. I really had a good amount of fun talking about the draft prospects. But with all that being said, I want to say thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM and the Full Court Press Podcast. Sorry. We're going to be back on Friday.
Monday,
sorry. With the X Factor for each playoff / play-in team going into the 2023 NBA playoffs. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at FCP_UA and on TikTok at FCP_podcast. This is Jamie, Alex, and Nick signing out.
Peace.
See you guys.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.